The subject matter of the 10th perek is the offering of the korban ha'omer, one of the many different types of flour offerings. The korban ha'omer was brought on the second day of Pesach, and it was in order to permit the consumption of the grain which had grown that year. It is prohibited to eat chodosh. Chodosh is new produce which has grown that year, in that year's harvest, and it's forbidden to eat it until the korban ha'omer has been brought on the second day of Pesach. And any produce which only takes root after the korban ha'omer has been brought on the second day of Pesach may not be eaten until the following year when the next korban ha'omer is offered up. And the Torah already talks about the procedure of bringing the korban ha'omer, starting already from the stage of harvesting the barley to be used for the sake of the korban ha'omer. And as such, we're going to see in the Mishnah is going to discuss the procedure already from that stage. Rabbi Yishmol says, Ha'omer ha'yabo b'shabbos mishalosh se'im. The flour used for the korban ha'omer on Shabbos, if the second day of Pesach fell on a Shabbos, it would come from three se'ah of flour. They would originally cut from the ground and in the harvest enough grain, enough barley, so that they'll end up with three se'ah of flour. And from that three se'ah of flour, they'll sift it until they end up with the required volume of an esorain, a tenth of an ephah, which is a tenth of three se'ah. They would sieve the flour until they end up with that amount, uvachol, and if the second day of Pesach fell on a weekday, then they would harvest mechomesh, enough barley to produce five se'ah of flour, and they would sift and process the five se'ah in order to end up with an esorain of flour. In order to end up with the best quality esorain of flour, five se'ah indeed would be used. And then once completing the process of sieving it and getting the best part of that flour, a sorin of it, that would be considered the best quality flour. However, on Shabbos, it is preferable that they use only three se'ah in order that they minimize the harvesting on Shabbos. Essentially, harvesting is generally forbidden on Shabbos. However, since the Torah requires that it be done on a specific date, on the second day of Pesach, in the nighttime, as we're going to see, so indeed, it overrides Shabbos, and one is permitted to harvest it on Shabbos and go through the entire procedure of bringing the korban ha'omer. However, it is preferable that we minimize the violation of Shabbos by harvesting less produce and deriving the esorin of flour from a smaller volume, even if that means working harder with that specific smaller amount of flour which we have. It is preferable to do that rather than having to perform multiple acts which are generally forbidden on Shabbos. The Chachom say, Echad b'Shabbos v'Echad b'Chol, both on Shabbos and on a weekday, Mishalosh Hayaba, the Esorin of flour used for the Korban Omer, would come from three Se'ah. According to the Chachomim, even on a weekday there is a reason to harvest less produce, even if the final product might not be the very best quality. Because as we're going to see in the coming Mishnayos, the procedure of harvesting the produce used for the korban ha'omer, this whole procedure was done in front of many, many people. Everybody would come to watch. And there was a reason for that, as we're going to see. We wanted to make it into a very big deal, but that would mean that everybody is now waiting, and therefore it is preferable to speed up the harvesting by only harvesting three se'ah instead of five, enough for three se'ah of flour instead of for five se'ah of flour. Next argument, Rabbi Chanina Skanakanim says, the deputy Kohen Gadol, b'Shabbos ho niktzar b'yochid, if the second day of Pesach fell on Shabbos, then it would be harvested by one individual, of a magal achas, using one sickle, which is the tool which they would use to cut the barley from the ground, of a kupa achas, and they would put all of the barley which they are harvesting into one container, one box, or one basket, uvachol, whereas if it's done on a weekday, b'shloisha, it would be performed by three people, uvasholesh magot kupais, and they would put all of the grain, all of the barley, into three different baskets, uvasholesh magolais, and each of these people would be using three different sickles. One each, of course, but there would be three altogether. In order to make this whole thing into a bigger deal, with more people part of the process, in order to publicize it more, as we're going to see in the next Mishnayos, we wanted to make this into a very big deal. And therefore, many people, three people should be involved. That having been said, on Shabbos it's preferable that only one person perform it in order to minimize the violation of Shabbos. Even though it is permitted to perform these actions over here on Shabbos, it is still preferable to minimize actions which would otherwise be forbidden on Shabbos. But the Chachomim say that once it is permitted to do this on Shabbos, we already would prefer that Echad b'Shabbos, Echad b'Chol, both on Shabbos and on a weekday, b'Shloisha, three people should do it. B'Shalosh Kupos, b'Shalosh Magalos, using three different baskets and three different tools, sickles, in order to publicize the matter and to make a big deal out of it. Once it is permitted on Shabbos, there is no reason to minimize the violation, to minimize the actions being performed at the expense of making this into a big deal. Mishnah Beis, mitzvah sa'omer, lovi min ha'korev. It is a mitzvah, it's preferable that the barley which is going to be used for the flour of the korban ha'omer should come from a place nearby to Yerushalayim. The Gemara offers two reasons for this. Firstly, so that the barley will be fresh and soft, because they would have bought it from a very nearby place. They wouldn't need to travel with it for a long time, which might make that produce less fresh, less soft. And the second reason is less of a practical reason, more of a halachic reason, because of the rule of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvah, that it's forbidden to pass by an opportunity to perform a mitzvah and to go to a further place in order to get the produce. So if they leave Yerushalayim in order to look for grain, to look for produce to use, if they pass by produce which could be used, it is forbidden to pass by there in order to obtain other produce. And for that reason too, they would bring the produce from an area nearby to Yerushalayim. Lo biker hakorev l'Yerushalayim. However, if the produce which grows near Yerushalayim has not yet fully ripened, then they can bring the produce from any place. As the Mishnah indeed continues to tell us, it once happened that they brought the korban ha'omer from barley which grew in Gagos Tzrifin, and the two loaves of bread which are brought on Shavuos came from produce which grew from the valley of Ein Socher, even though these two locations were very far away from Yerushalayim. This occurred in a time when much of the land of Eretz Yisrael was destroyed, and there was no produce which was available near to Yerushalayim, and therefore they obtained it from a further away location. Mishnah Gimel, the next two Mishnahs really go into the details of the procedure of harvesting the barley for the Korban Omer, and what the process was all the way until offering part of it on the Mizbeach. And as we're going to see, the Chachamim wanted to make a big deal out of harvesting. Why exactly is that? The answer is, there was a group of Jews called the Baisusim, a particular sect of Jews who did not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, the fact that much of the Torah is passed down from one generation to the next generation by mouth. And we have traditions going back to Moshe, which he received at Har Sinai, for how to perform many of the laws of the Torah. The Baisusim did not accept any of these traditions of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, part of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition. Rather, they interpreted the Torah literally as is written. Now, the Torah says that the harvesting and the offering of the Korban HaOmer should occur Mimocharos HaShabbos, which literally means the day after Shabbos. And the Baisusim understood that just like in the rest of the Torah, Shabbos refers to the day of Shabbos, so too over here, the Torah requires that the Omer be performed on a Sunday, the day after Shabbos. So the very first Sunday, which arrived after the first day of Pesach, that is when they would perform, that's when they understood that the Korban Omer needs to be brought. Now, we have a tradition, a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai, to interpret that pasuk as referring to the second day of Pesach. Over here, the first day of Pesach is called Shabbos. At the end of the day, Shabbos really means that it's a day of rest, of not performing work. And that's true regarding the first day of Pesach as well. Just in general, that term is reserved specifically for the day of Shabbos. But we have a tradition to interpret over here, when it says the day after Shabbos, that means the day after the first day of Pesach. And so, according to the truth, according to that tradition which we have from Moshe Rabbeinu, which has been passed down from generation to generation, regardless of what day the first day of Pesach falls, the Korban Omer always needs to be brought on the second day of Pesach. And in order to publicize this fact, and the fact that we are not interpreting the Torah literally, like the Baisusim made a mistake to do, Therefore, the Chachamim instituted that this should all be done in a very public manner. Ketadoy Oisim, how would they go about the procedure of harvesting the Korban Omer? Shluchei Beis Din Yetzim Erev Yomtov. We're already starting from the day before Yomtov. This would be the 14th of Nisan, the day before Pesach begins. Messengers of the Beis Din would go out and they would go to the field where they are planning on harvesting the barley. And they would make the produce into sort of bundles whilst the produce is still attached to the ground. They would connect different stalks, which are still attached to the ground, together, so that when they come to harvest it, on the night of the second day of Pesach, as soon as Yom Tov ends, in Eretz Yisrael there was one day of Yom Tov, of course, and at the end of the first day of Yom Tov, that night, they would immediately go and harvest it. They wanted it to be ready already from earlier on, and therefore they would do this already from before Yom Tov began. And then, at the conclusion of the first day of Yom Tov, on the night of the second day, all of the nearby towns, the people living there, would gather to the place where the harvesting is going to take place, so that it will be harvested with a great amount of publicity. They would make a big deal out of it. And the truth is, they would gather there even before Yom Tov ended, so that Kirin Shechashecha, as soon as it gets dark and the second day of Pesach begins, of course in Jewish law, the day begins from the night, and as soon as it became night and it was no longer Yom Tov, Omer Lohem, the person who had been chosen to perform the harvesting, or if there are three people who are doing it, then all of them would say the following, Bo HaShemesh. He would ask them, has the sun set? And everybody who was standing there, Oimim Hein, they would say yes. And then he would ask again a second time, Bo HaShemesh, has the sun set? Oimim Hein, they would reply yes. And as we're going to see in a few lines time, the Mishnah is going to tell us that he would ask each of these questions three times. The Mishnah mentions it twice to show that he is repeating it, but the Mishnah says that he actually would say it three times. And then the second question he would ask them is, Magal Zoi, should I use this sickle, this tool to cut the barley, Omrim Hain? They would all reply, yes, Magal Zoi, should I use this sickle, Omrim Hain? They would say, yes. Kupa Zoi, should I use this basket in order to put the barley into it, Omrim Hain? They would reply, yes. Kupa Zoi, he would ask again, should I use this basket, Omrim Hain? They would say, yes. And the Mishnah adds, B'Shabbos, if the second day of Pesach fell on a Shabbos, Omrim Elohim. He would say to them, Shabbos Zoi, should I be harvesting on this Shabbos, Omrim Hein? They would say, yes. Shabbos Zoi, should I be harvesting on this Shabbos, Omrim Hein? They would say, yes. And then finally, when he's ready to now actually perform the harvesting, he asks them, Ektzor, should I harvest? Should I begin already? Vehem Omrim Loi Ketzor. And they would tell him, yes, harvest. And now they wouldn't just answer yes, they would say to him, harvest. Now the time has actually arrived, so they can tell him to go ahead and perform the procedure of harvesting. Ketzor, should I harvest? And they reply again, yes, you should harvest. They would repeat these things three times. He would ask each question three times. And each time when they answer him, they would answer him, yes, yes, yes. Each time. For each question, they would answer him three times saying yes. Why do we need all of this? Because of this group of Jewish people, that they would say, the harvesting of the Omer, of the barley which is going to be used for the Korban Omer, is not necessarily B'mitzvah Yom Tov, on the night at the conclusion of the first day of Pesach. If it happens to be that that was a Sunday, then yes. But otherwise, it's always on the Motzei Shabbos, literally. So in order to show that they are making a mistake, we would make a big deal out of performing it on the night of the second day of Pesach, regardless of what day that fell. Mishnah Dalet. This Mishnah really goes through the procedure from the time of the harvesting until the Omer is actually brought on the Mizbeach. Ketzoruhu, they would harvest it, they would cut the barley from the ground. Ketzoruhu bakupais, they would place it into the baskets. And Hevi Uhul Azar, they would bring it to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Hoi Mahavin Oisei Ba'ur. And then they would roast it in fire, kedei l'kayem b'mitzvas koli, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of roasting it. The Torah explicitly says that the barley, the flour which is going to be used for the Korban Omer, has to be kolui bo'esh, roasted, parched in fire. Rav Meir, that is the opinion of Rav Meir. According to Rav Meir, even before the inside of the stalks of grain has been taken out of the outer husks, only the inner part of the grain of the grains of barley are used for the flour. The husks are the unwanted parts of the barley. According to the way that Rav Meir understands the Pesukim, it is supposed to be roasted and parched in the fire before the outer husks are removed from the actual part which we want. However, the Chachomim say, first, they would hit the barley using reeds or other stalks in order to remove the husks. And they would use reeds which are much softer than regular sticks, so that the inside of these barley stalks would not be crushed. And then, once they take it out of the outer husks, nesanuhu la'abuv, they place the grain into a special copper tool, a container made of copper, and this was specifically designated for burning the grain inside there. They would place this utensil into the fire, and the grain would be roasted whilst being in this utensil, which is unlike the opinion of Rav Meir, that it would be burnt by itself, not inside a utensil. The Abiv Hoya Menukov, and this copper utensil had holes in it, K'deshe Ha'or Sholet Bekuloi, so that the fire would be able to enter all of it and properly roast the grain. After that, Shtachuhu Ba'Zara, they spread the grain out in the on the courtyard floor, in order for it to properly dry up, for Rahman HaShemes Boy, and the wind would blow on it in order to dry the grain from any moisture which might have been produced during the burning process. And then, Sanuhu Berichayim Shel Goroseis, they would place it in a millstone to grind it. Berichayim Shel Goroseis is a millstone which doesn't grind into something very fine, but it will, even once it's been ground, the flour will be very coarse. V'haytziru Menu Esorayin, and they would ultimately derive an Isarin of flour by sieving it 13 times. They would end up with a much finer flour, the Hasha'or, and the rest of the flour, which was not, didn't end up being the fine flour at the end of the sieving process, Niftev Ne'echel L'chol Adam, would be redeemed in order to get rid of the sanctity, and then it could be eaten by anybody, V'chai V'chala. And it is liable in the requirement of challah. Challah is when one separates a part of the dough and gives it to a kohen. And the obligation of challah begins once the dough is made. This is unlike most tithes, which need to be separated from produce. Their obligation begins already when the harvesting is performed, or completed, once the grain has been piled up. And the Mishnah says, well, potam ha'maaseros, the rest of the flour is exempt from taking tithes, because at the time of the harvesting, it belonged to Hekdesh. This was considered to be sanctified produce, and sanctified produce is exempt from Maiseres. However, Challah, whose obligation only begins later on, by which time it's no longer Hekdesh because it's already been redeemed, the obligation of separating part of the dough and giving it to a Kohen would apply. That having been said, Rabbi Akiva Mechai B'Challah B'Maiseres, Rabbi Akiva says that it is obligated in Challah and in the tithes, because according to Rabbi Akiva, originally it was only ever sanctified for the amount of flour which is actually going to be used for the Korban HaOmer. But the rest of it was never actually sanctified in the beginning, because that part is not going to be used for the Korban HaOmer. So they wouldn't even need to redeem the rest of it according to Rabbi Akiva, and the obligation of tithing it would apply. Alright, continues the Mishnah with the procedure of the Omer. Bolo le'Isorain, the person performing the procedure would now come to his Isorain of flour, v'nosan shamlo levoinoso, he would add oil and levoina, the frankincense. And this wouldn't be done in one go. The adding of the oil, which we're referring to, is putting the oil into the utensil before adding the flour. And then they would add the flour. And then they would put the levoina in the utensil on the side. Not that it be mixed with the rest of the flour. They'd put it in the same utensil. And then, yotzaku bolal, they would perform yotziko and belilo. The truth is, belilo came first. Belilo is when they would now add lots of oil to the flour and mix it together. And then, once it had been mixed together, they would pour some more oil. That's yotziko. Hinif, they would wave it in all directions, tanufa, then vehigish, they would perform hagosha, which is bringing it and touching it on the southwest corner of the mizbeach. The komatz, they would perform kamitza, they would take a three-finger handful of the flour, without the levoina would be moved to the side and taken out, and then vehikter, they would burn the koimetz, the handful of flour, together with the levoina, frankincense, they would burn that on the Mizbeach, and the remaining part of the flour would be given to the Kohanim to eat.